The Steinberg brothers were hired to paint the cathedral's interior. While painting, they saw a ceremony rehearsal in the chancel that they were not familiar with. Father O'Reilly explained that it was a rehearsal of the ceremony in which seven young women would become nuns. He said, "First the young women are novices, then novitiates, then they are married to Christ and given a wedding ring, and they become full-fledged nuns." The Steinberg brothers asked if they could come, and Father O'Reilly said, "By all means." When the Steinbergs came to the door of the nave, the ushers were puzzled. The brothers asked to be seated to the right. They explained, "These relatives of the groom." Yes, marriage. Most people, at least in the recent past, married to those of the opposite biological gender. Though nowadays maligned, this reality still is the supreme contract on earth, that between a husband and wife. Marriage rates peaked in the 1960s, but have declined precipitously since, while divorce has skyrocketed. In our so-called modern progressive woke world, many people never marry at all. Or if they do marry, they have choices. Some still marry other people, but others marry their pets or even inanimate objects. I've read recently of people who marry themselves. I'm not sure of how such a marriage can work, but let alone how the ceremony is conducted. But of course, I'm not insane and not indwelt with a demon or evil spirits which can literally manifest as multiple persons or personalities in the same single human body. While in the past such people would have been sent to mental hospitals, or better, found deliverance and freedom by committed Christians casting out their evil spirits, in 2015, in our Supreme Court's infinite wisdom, it discovered in our Constitution rights to marry same-gendered people and, by extension, anything else. It's all legal. And in the current lunacy of transgenderism, people who marry themselves, I suppose, can be both genders at the same time, or neither, or none, or everything possible, whenever the feeling strikes them. We're in the month of June, the traditional month for weddings, which has been hijacked into a so-called Pride Month for misguided, confused, demonically influenced, and or possessed people to not only assert their rights to live as they please, but now to flaunt all manner of perversion, obscenity, mockery of the things of God, and most recently, violence against those who disagree with them and have the gall to speak out or just show up in opposition to their agenda. The pitiful souls promoting pride don't realize that they're setting themselves up for a miserable and tragic fall. Unless they turn and repent at some point in their lives, their fall will truly be a long way down into hell, where they will be joined by all others who never confess their sins of lying, deception, theft, murder, cheating, greed, and all manner of self-aggrandizement. In brief, all things that stem from pride and hate. These dear souls have also tried to pervert one of the most beautiful signs that God gave us, the rainbow. The sign that God puts in the skies to proclaim his covenant with all creation that he will never again destroy all life with a flood is both a delicate and enormous, gentle and powerful reminder of God's sovereignty over us all. God has prevented those who've tried to twist it to mean all love is love from truly desecrating it. We note that the pride flag and symbol is a rainbow of six colors. Six is the number of man. Six represents imperfection, incompletion. God's rainbow, the ones in the sky, has seven colors. Seven is the number of perfection, the number of God Himself, the number of spirits of the Holy Spirit. Despite the devil's best efforts, all he and his followers can manage is an imperfect, fake counterfeit, and not a good one at that. Seeing all this perversion, many believers have decided enough is enough and have begun crusades to reclaim the month of June. No longer to evil pride, we now proclaim June is humility month, life month. For God loves the humble, and He promises He will raise up the humble to the heights of heaven. Just days ago, our nation's 45th president, Donald Trump, was indicted yet again for trumped-up charges that he supposedly maliciously stole and stored classified documents that threatened national security. Another total sham. When rational heads get involved in the process, the whole thing will be thrown out of court, all charges dropped. But the hate of him that precipitated this latest travesty following a baseless impeachment and a groundless indictment for the January 6th insurrection that wasn't, all display to any with eyes to see that all this is fraudulent with no basis in any reality. Those currently working on behalf of evil are now clutching at straws to manufacture any possible reason, any possible maneuvers to keep Trump from being re-elected president. For the election illegalities perpetrated in 2020 will be largely ineffective next time around because they've been found out. God's people must pray fervently that all past illegalities be uncovered and the perpetrators put behind bars, from the top to the bottom. Fake prosecutor Jack Smith had the gall to pompously proclaim in his indictment of Trump, "We have one set of laws in this country, and they apply to everyone." If that's really true, then why are all liberals allowed to go scot-free for far worse? Why are illegal aliens allowed to rape, pillage, and even murder, get deported, yet return and do it all over again? Folks, if Trump gets taken down, we're next. Pray for him and pray for his protection. Pray for his secret security team, that all of them remain loyal and humble before Almighty God. I imagine many people are just itching to gun him down. We need to keep praying God's hedge of protection around him. Today we began a series from the prophet Hosea. We'll go through his entire book this summer. From the first two chapters that we read this morning, his life and ministry was truly shocking. Can you imagine his astonishment, consternation, incredulousness when he heard Holy Spirit telling him to marry a prostitute, one currently in business? Nevertheless, he obeyed God, for God had a great purpose to use Hosea's and Gomer's life as an in-your-face object lesson to both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Hosea represents Father God. Gomer, the prostitute who consents to marrying Hosea as she figured it would benefit her until it didn't, represents both Israel and Judah. In great love and tenderness, Hosea rescues Gomer from her life of sin and brothels, and she births a son. Hosea names him Jezreel, meaning God will sow or God plants. But for Gomer, the honeymoon is over. Grown bored with Hosea, she seeks other men as she used to. Her next two children, probably not even Hosea since the Bible doesn't specify, but they become his responsibility, since Gomer is technically still his wife. But she'll later end all pretense and divorce her husband, Hosea. But even that is not the end to the story. In this picture is worth a thousand words, real life living example, God declares how he betrothed the Jewish people, rescuing them from agonizing slavery in Egypt, bringing them into a wondrous promised land. But over and over, they strayed and worshiped the very demons God had raised them up to defeat and displace. They repeatedly betrayed his tender, loving care, turned their backs on him, even though he gave them blessing after blessing after blessing, becoming prosperous and powerful in the land. At this point, the northern kingdom, Israel, was rich and affluent, but their position was precarious. Seemingly protected by a large military, it would soon prove to be no match at all to the Assyrians, who, after a three-year siege of the capital city, Samaria, would sack it, reducing it to rubble. And northern Israel was no more. Judah, nominally less treacherous and more faithful to God, would survive another 136 years. But the same scenario played out with them as well. Babylon captured Jerusalem and burned it, destroying the magnificent temple. Let me ask you, do you not see the parallels to America today? Can we turn America back to God in time to forestall his necessary judgment? For we have sunk to banana republic status. That's no republic at all, when the full force of government is used to take out political opponents. Just as ancient Israel broke and broke and broke its covenant with God, so has America, and this month it's coming to a head. Yet, the pushback is rising. Boycott Target, Bud Light, Kohl's, and all the rest of them politely and lovingly refuse to affirm people's lies. Turn off the lies of the mainstream media. Research what's true and stand for the truth, and God will mercifully do the rest. He will restore us just as he has promised he would and is doing with Israel today. For his Holy Spirit, through kind and generous Apostle Barnabas and his then protege Paul, brought in thousands and thousands of Gentiles. So we Gentiles, today's true Christians, are the descendants of those first Gentile believers. And we are joined together with today's Israel because the Lord is coming back soon. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word, written and living and sharper than any two-edged sword. Help us, Lord, your people, your Christians, to wield your sword in love that sets people free and turns this country back to you. We pray for, in your name, Lord Jesus, and for your sake. Amen.